You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 15th, 2019, and we're looking at your data, finding out what you're looking at on the internet.
Ooh.
You perv.
Back to the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
I'm George Alborg.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. Data.
Big data.
Can't live with it. Can't be analyzed by various metrics without it.
That's right.
This week, we ran across an article in Polygon called The Dangers of In-Game Data Collection. with the subtitle of "Can Your Choices Come Back to Haunt You?" by Patrick Stafford. I actually think that the article itself is much more nuanced and interesting than the headline. It's just like a very hilarious, like, fearful headline.
Well, I mean, there are elements in... By the way, I love Patrick Stafford. I think he's actually a really talented writer and has a long history of writing great articles with a lot of depth and insight. There are elements in this that are very... I don't know. What's a good way of putting it? Fear-inducing?
Totally.
Maybe? That I think is maybe a little bit unnecessary. But then on the other hand, fuck it. You know what I mean? You might as well be paranoid if it helps.
Exactly. It's like, on the other hand, sometimes the stuff is actually terrifying. It's weird. Like, data collection in general is the most... It is the scariest benign action that happens because... Anyone, and I think this article makes the point where, like, this is about data collection in video games, collecting your types, your preferences, your actions, your inclinations based off of your choices and your play style. And like any sort of data collection, any single point is actually relatively benign. But when you put it into like a matrix, it all of a sudden becomes extremely scary.
Well, and so just jumping right into it, I think one of the issues I have with the way that this article approaches what the bad outcomes are is that it's very vague. It's very like hypothetical. Like one day someone will have all of this information and they will build a version of you and then replace you with a doppelganger. Like I'm not quite sure what the intent is, but here's the thing, right? They're always alluding like they can target you better and sell you shit, but like who knows what the next step is. I know the next step. It's to sell you even more shit, you know, like the malicious things that, I guess that's what my point, right? Is if you're scared about data, you should be scared about it now, not about what it enables people to do in the future, because the only thing they're going to be doing in the future is doing what they're doing now ever so slightly better.
Right, right.
Or someone's going to steal all your data, and then they'll actually steal your identity and buy a bunch of fucking Bitcoin online using your bank account.
I mean, I feel like that is, to me, that is the more worrisome thing about this data collection period. One is that...
Identity theft.
Or just like... identity theft, or just not necessarily identity theft, but malicious actors obtaining the data and then using it for more nefarious ways of targeting and or scamming you.
Yes.
The other thing that is more worrisome about the wanton collection of data from bigger firms like, you know, Google or Facebook or whatever, is that it's I've really turned into an old man dad, but like, won't somebody please think of the children? I mean, like, it's hard enough for me to resist the pull of slick marketing and basically consumerism that fills the, you know, the empty void in my heart that, you know, happens in the 21st century.
Yeah.
And I'm an adult who has, you know, a higher education, who has, you know, been instilled with many critical thinking skills from various privileged structures in a relatively modern country. But as a kid, you just don't have those tools, and you are just so much more susceptible to influence, especially when people are wielding data like a scalpel.
That's True.
Which is more worrisome to me in that way. You know, the more defenseless people out there worry me more.
Yeah, I mean, the heady perfume of late stage capitalism is such that it is very easy to be suckered into like a marketing scam.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the protections for children in particular is an interesting one, because that's one that the U.S. government has slowly and steadily been adding more barriers for data tracking on children.
Right.
There are far tougher regulations in Europe and abroad for exactly your point, right? Like they are a class of people that are less equipped to understand what marketing is, how it works, that they're making the right decisions, that even the decisions they think they're making are actually it, right? Like sometimes you'll see an ad that's like, buy this now, and you know, clicking it actually just gives them someone in fucking Tunisia your credit card, and
that's it, right?
So that's I could totally see that concern for sure. But I guess what is that in reality? What does that look like, right? Like it is largely, you know, the easy credit card theft, or and I guess in the event that your data is just straight up stolen from someone that didn't have malicious intent, but from the companies that we know and love, right? Like if you're, let's say, for example, you make a Instagram account for your kid. Technically, you shouldn't, because the age of Instagram in terms of service is, 13 and up, I believe, right? Yeah. But if you're, say, 9 years old and your mom makes you an Instagram account so you can post funny pictures of your dog or whatever, you're technically being tracked, and you might get targeted messaging towards you, right? You might see an ad that's selling dog care products or something, right? Yeah. And if you're a dumb 9-year old who wants to put a bow tie on their fucking schnauzer, that might happen. Then, you know, you might be suckered into that. But like, I don't know. I guess the paranoia around what that sale looks like. Like, I guess I just feel like if you have a problem with it, you have a problem with it now. Like it's already problematic. Yeah. It's not gonna become more problematic.
I think the people that are worried about that future state perhaps do not realize that so much of it is actually data brokerage, where people are just like buying and selling data to other parties, where it's like, oh, we Facebook have collected this and it's very valuable, so we will sell this to Procter and Gamble because they want to know how to target people better.
Yes.
That raises another thing, like even like tying it back to games, where, you know, I have paid my money to play this game, but I am also adding to the value of the company by my actions and data, and perhaps I'm not seeing any return on that. Like they're making money off of me because I'm volunteering something.
Yeah.
My behavior, and I don't even realize I'm doing it, and I'm certainly not seeing any money off of it. You know.
Yeah.
Well, that's another weird thing.
Let's imagine a future where you have complete clarity as to where your data is going. Right.
Yeah.
Are you then satisfied? Like, so for example, if you visit a website and a pop-up says like, hey, just so you know, like we're putting cookies on you, and then we're going to sell that data to these firms, and those firms are going to try to sell you puppy mix. Like,
is that, or
if you saw an ad and every time the ad said brought to you by the 12 hours you spent on Instagram looking at, you know, diet sites, like, is that going to make you rest easy? Like, is the concern that people know things about you that you don't know they know? Like, is that the big concern, or is it the act of them doing it in the first place? Because, again, full devil's advocate hat, right?
Yeah.
In a way, targeted, I could see how one could make the claim that targeted media messaging is better for you as a consumer, because you're not getting ads to dumb shit that you never care about or want to see, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if I'm into, you know, if I just saw Avengers Endgame and was tweeting about Avengers Endgame, and someone was like, yo, you like Avengers Endgame? Check out the sweet mug that has fucking Hulk's face on it.
Right,
I might be like, hell yeah, I was in the market for a mug.
Yeah.
Perfect. I love Hulk. Let's go. Right.
Yeah.
Or it says, hey, here's Hulk on it. And I go, you know what? I already have a mug. Thanks. And then you ignore it and you move on.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is the value of it. You know, ideally it links people to things that they're more interested in. It's more relevant to you. You get something out of it. They get something out of it. My socialist self says that they are just getting way more out of it than I am. Where it's like,
I mean, that's true. Because what are you getting out of it? Like, you now know about a Hulk mug.
Like, right. And it's like, great. I now have 20 less dollars than I started with. And you have increased your market capitalization exponentially. And it's like, oh, man. Like, you definitely got the better part of that deal. You know?
I thought I was the means of production.
Right. but I mean, like that. And in a video game where it hasn't been the case always that there has been this more sophisticated telemetry and games haven't always been connected to the internet, there it can be easy to forget that there are like pretty elegant means of tracking people's decisions and moment to moment behaviors. And it's like, okay, well, what are players getting out of that? And sometimes they're probably getting some good stuff out of it, but other times, I don't know, maybe they're not. It's something that I don't think about, even though I'm sure it happens in every single game I play.
That's definitely true. Well, okay, so I should say, by the way, I work for Ubisoft, a video game company. should have put that front and center. My bad. But so like telemetry data, it's an interesting differentiation, and I'm glad this article talks about it, although I think it conflates it a little bit, right? Because on one hand, you have the behavioral data that websites are collecting from you, right? So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media platforms, but also basically every single website that is, for the most part, is tracking you in some way, shape, or form, especially if they're predominantly an ad-based company model, because that data is subsidizing the production of the content that you're consuming. You just don't know about it. You don't get to see those real costs, right? Yep. For video games, it's more complicated, because if you pay for an actual video game and you're exchanging dollars, the expectation is you're paying money for that product, and that is the end of the transaction, and your data is not then being used to subsidize that play experience.
Yeah,
I think we're all fully aware now that the price of games has not increased comparable to the cost that it takes to produce them.
Yeah, and or even inflation.
It's pretty clear that the costs for the video games that we play this day and age are subsidized. And a lot of times they're subsidized through the sale of microtransactions after launch, which has a higher return on investment and a low upfront cost, because you're building off of the assets and whatnot that were produced and the labor that was produced into the playing of that creation of that video game early. Right.
Yep.
So to that end, like that's a normal fine level of interaction, right? Because you go, look, I've been playing League of Legends for 1,000 years in real time, and right. I have bought a bunch of skins, and I know technically that for every dollar I spend on this game, I'm subsidizing some random person's free time playing that game. I'm comfortable with that decision, right?
Right.
Telemetry data, which is basically any data that the game is collecting about your play experience itself, and I guess even functionally the time that you spend within menus, it does, I imagine that does matter.
Yeah.
Where that data goes, I think the big concern is we often just don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
At least from my perspective, as someone who works on the marketing side of things, I wish I had more of your data. Like, telemetry data is so fucking cool.
Got any data?
Well, like, I mean, think of it this way, right? Like, from both a design perspective and a marketing perspective, right? Like, telemetry data means that I know that someone had a really hard time on this boss. We can produce content that helps you, right? Because if you think about the role of the people on the video game side in both publishing, marketing, design, all that stuff, what they want to really help you do is have the most fun. Besides, of course, making fucking money hand over fist.
Yeah. Besides those greedy devs swimming in money.
Besides that, besides all the Rolexes that I'm sleeping on tonight, right? what they want, and I guess me, by connection, is to provide players the content that they want when they want it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to provide that,
right?
Both in-game and outside of game, if we don't know what they want. And one of the ways of knowing what they want is knowing how they behave in-game.
Man, what? So it's interesting. They in the article, they talk with, Patrick Stafford talks with the person, I forget his name, the creative director of Silent Hill Shattered Memories, Sam Barlow. Writer, I guess. He was the writer. Great
is
game.
Is he the same guy, by the way, that did the full motion video murder detective game, Her Story?
Oh, is he?
I think it is.
Huh. That makes a lot more sense now, actually. If that is in fact true, that makes a lot more sense.
Oh, it is. Yep, it is.
Man, that's great. Because it's such a style too. Like, and that game came out like a long time before Her Story came out.
Yep.
But they interview him about the psychological evaluation that you take up front in that game that then impacts the types of scenes you see or the types of dialogue choices that happen in that game. And this is kind of where the scare tactic comes in, where it's like, oh, like what if someone were to get their hands on this data and then make a decision about you based off of your responses to the data. It's interesting, right? Like I, in one sense I'm like, okay, I mean, this is essentially role playing. Like who cares? It's a game, you know, would anyone actually take action on that? And then on the other hand, I'm like, corporations are pretty corrupt and terrible, and governments can be pretty corrupt and terrible. So maybe they would. And so I can't really figure out how I feel about it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, from a design perspective, right? The Silent Hill Shattered Memories is a great example, because that's data that informs the play experience in real time.
Yeah.
You know, and that telemetry data is the only way that can happen. Like the only way that we can know, like, oh man, we need to fix this gun is if we know, well, one, if people complain, but two, if we can see that the behavior has shifted, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at any game that has online multiplayer, they're collecting a huge amount of telemetry data for balance alone, right? Like, what is the kill-death ratio? How soon are people dying? Like, that depth of data is crucial for them to make a game that is healthy. There's a lot of different ways that we can define what a healthy game looks like.
Right.
And a lot of different types of data can help maintain those healthy systems in a variety of ways, be it narratively speaking, be it difficulty, you know, or even just what content do we want to work on, right? Like, dude, it is expensive to pay a lot of designers to work on content that if nobody wants to use it or look at or play it, right?
Right. What were we even doing?
Right. And telemetry data, like if people say, wow, they've loved this single player mission, that was a one-off thing from this multiplayer game that we had no intention of playing, let's blow it out. Let's do it again. You know, like let's give people... And it doesn't, that data doesn't even have to say, make a decision that fundamentally impacts the entire game experience, right? You can say, wow, you know what? A small percentage of people loved this thing, but they loved it a lot.
Right.
So it's a low cost on our side, so we're going to make another one, you know? And that data provides that. And that's kind of cool. On the other hand, you're absolutely right. Like, it's difficult to know, is that going to be safe? Is that going to be used for purposes outside of just, you know, providing the content that I'm looking for when I'm looking for it?
Right.
Unfortunately, we're in a place where there's not a whole lot of oversight and regulation.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting, and I guess I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this, but the video game industry does have a history of self-regulating. And I think that we already know that there's been a lot of attention over the past couple of years, especially around Facebook and the election, in regards to how data is used and how it's manipulative.
Yeah.
And those protections, even from a purely regulatory perspective from Congress, have increased since then. I don't think that the games industry wants to be at the bad end of a legal case around data. And I strongly suspect that, I mean, maybe strong suspect is too strong of a word, but I suspect that there's pretty hefty incentives to make sure that the data isn't used poorly. That isn't to say it's not going to be, but I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know if that assuages any fears to say, like, you can trust video game companies because...
Well, the argument is maybe not even though you can trust them. It's like, well, there are way worse people. It's like they're hiding behind a human shield of, or a, like, cyborg shield of Facebook, because Facebook is so terrible that anything by comparison is not as bad.
Well, and I guess what's nice to see, right, is, like, there are actual people that do actually tend to be a little bit more tech savvy than your average Joe Schmo working at some of these companies, and hopefully they have an opportunity and voice to ensure that their data is being collected wisely and not distributed frivolously.
Right. I mean, I guess I would be interested in how anonymized telemetry data is, because one of the criticisms that people have of the larger tech companies is that it's fine to collect, you know, collecting data, like you point out, like, okay, well, we can fix this part that everyone's having trouble with, or we can clearly improve this thing that everyone loves. It doesn't necessitate collecting someone's IP address, collecting somebody's, personally identifiable information. Like, it doesn't, the over collection of data is a big criticism of a lot of these companies, where they seem to just collect data for the sake of having it and like finding a use for it later, which is distasteful. It is more tasteful seemingly if people have a theory or hypothesis and try to collect the data necessary to prove or disprove it, versus just vacuuming up just as much as they can and then kind of just keeping it somewhere to either be stolen or utilized in a weird way later, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah, that's sketch. Actually, you know what? On that point, another thought is just that I think sometimes there's this fear around the mass amount of data, mm-hmm. but like there's already a huge amount of data that's already available that just isn't used, like, or isn't wisely used. So, I mean, even to that end, like collecting an excessive amount of data is almost counterintuitive or counterproductive for a lot of companies anyway, because what are you going to do with that? Like that,
yeah.
I mean, especially when you're talking about really sizable data sets, like that takes up actual physical space, you know, on a server somewhere.
Right.
And running through that and collecting insights from that is itself time consuming and taxing on just pure hardware, let alone human beings, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it almost, again, to the point of the article being more future looking than it needs to be, we already have a ton of stuff. It's just not being used.
Yeah. Or it's, well, I don't know, actually. I don't know what the state of it is. I imagine the very large companies out there, like Riot or Valve, have multiple PhD level data scientists and engineering types that work on this stuff because of the massive data sets, and they can make sense of it. But to your point, I'm sure even some of the mid to large size video game companies, it's hard to find those people because those people are in high demand from companies like Google and Facebook and Apple. Like, it's having a robust data science team is a very hard thing just because of how in demand they are, especially in the area where we live.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you do have this stuff that's kind of sitting on the shelf, to what end, you know?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. And I should be clear, like, I have no insider knowledge from a Ubisoft perspective. I mean, I don't know enough about my own play behavior on anybody else's, but yeah, that's a good point. I mean, probably because I'm not smart enough to be in one of those positions.
But even so, like, I certainly think that, and I know that Ubisoft has those types of people that work there.
Sure.
But I'm sure it's not to the extent of the people that work at, Alibaba or Amazon or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure. Yeah.
Those are, like, the ultimate and most scary wizards of data, you know?
Well, I mean, it's also, like, where and how you spend your time, right? Like, from a gaming perspective, like, if we're just talking purely about data collected while you're in the game, I know for a fact that, like, there's just a large number of people that play video games, you know, every now and then. Like, there's just that data isn't really all that useful in a way, right? Like, if you're someone that plays one video game a year, does it really matter that you went to, you know, halfway through the game before giving up? Like, that's not nearly as useful for the purposes of, like, selling your data as what you've been browsing on Amazon and then actually added to your cart,
right?
Like, that data is far more impactful for those people, right? Or for the people that want to sort of retarget you online, I guess.
What do you think about the point about the state actors, where even in the article they link to, I mean, one of the scariest things that I feel like not many people are talking about is China's social credit system.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are rumblings that certain cities or municipalities are going to you know, cast a much broader net of like, well, if you cheat in video games, that'll impact your social credit score. And you know, at that point, your in-game actions will have a civil society.
Don't fucking cheat. Problem solved. Well, but you like, fucking cheater.
But honestly, though, I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, what if video game companies utilize telemetry to truly punish cheaters?
I mean, I fucking wish, dude. Are you kidding me?
I mean, like, what if
I'd play more? I would play more PC shooters.
Well, seriously, like, what if there is a consortium of of video game companies, a cabal,
if you will,
where the Apex Legends guys called up the Blizzard folks and were like, "Hey, do you guys want to combine databases to find all the people that are hackers?"
Dude, that would be crazy.
I mean, but like, that is, you know, I mean, obviously it would be possible. A difficult thing, but like, you know, it's, you could probably make a pretty good guess at like, oh, these people who all come from these sorts of IP addresses, or this person who registered with the same email on both of our services has gotten reported for cheating like dozens of times. Let's just preemptively ban them. It's like, wow. Like, then all of a sudden, like, the in-game actions and the data has this interconnected effect across various services, and we're just talking about video games. Yeah. We're not even talking about something that, you know, your local government might look at when they're deciding on whether to approve you for, you know, some sort of like visa or something.
And before you know it, you're locked up in jail for thought crimes, Scott.
I mean, that's the problem. Like, it makes you sound like a maniac, but like, all of this stuff is technically feasible. Like,
it's, yeah, there's... I mean, it's, I don't know. I just, is it worth it? Like, that's a lot of that's a lot of effort for very little ROI.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the ROI would be if the sanctity of your system is what you make money off of as a video game, like, you know, Apex Legends or, you know, Fortnite or whatever, like, they would have a real problem if there was, there was already a cheating problem, I suppose, but like, what if cheating really started materially impacting the game? Then all of a sudden they do have an incentive to do it.
Yeah, and we've been there and done that before, right? And some of the measures that companies have taken against cheaters have accidentally cast nets too wide and dragged in customers that were not cheaters and got banned for no reason. And that's a horrible experience. And they tend to be a much more louder and vocal population, right? So I think the risk of doing it poorly is very high, such that it disincentivizes a lot of folks from even trying something like that.
Mm.
On top of that, when you're talking about companies sharing data, like, you're already talking about sharing data, which itself is like, they really want to do that, because then you're just, you know, like, your data then is at the hands of somebody else that is a direct competitor. So like, who knows about that? But then, I mean, purely even on just the punishing cheater side, let's say Blizzard and Apex, Epic Games, you know, worked together to preemptively identify cheaters so that they increased the time it took to ban someone to, you know, 30 seconds of them playing or something, right?
Right.
If it's accurate, I guess the question would be, do you or I or we as a society have a problem with that?
Right.
You know, like, if it's not, it doesn't mean you can't get a job. Like, you just happen to be someone that's into cheating, and we don't want you to cheat on these games, you know?
Right.
I mean, this is a conversation that's come up in the past, right? And I think is a evergreen conversation in video games until we enter the, you know, I guess we're kind of in the brave new world of always online versions of DRM. Mm-hmm. But are we okay? Like, to what extent are we willing to fight for the rights of people to cheat? You know,
right?
Like,
right.
Modding is one thing, but it's just straight up, flat out cheating.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, as long as you can take action with a scalpel, I don't think anyone is especially fazed by that. We see all the time, like, X thousands of people got kicked out of a game for cheating because, you know, Blizzard and a lot of other video game companies will do rolling bans. So,
and
you
then
see,
everyone is like, yay.
Yeah, exactly. So you see every few months, like, a bunch of people got banned from X game, and then it's like, okay, great, they're no longer in the game, go have fun, and then they'll do another one. And, you know, it's not always a PR headline, but it happens with some consistency, right?
Right.
Do we have any issue with those systems that are in place now?
Hmm. Right. Man, I'm sure there's some sort of, I guess holistically, like, probably not, but there must be some sort of argument where, well, because this person, you know, quote unquote cheated, we now know more about how this game was constructed, or because of the early modding scene, we now can preserve this game that the publisher has gone long since gone bankrupt or something. Like, there's always some sort of like preservationist or historical argument to be made for being able to subvert the rules of a video game. But by and large, it in the moment for most people, what that usually means is that someone is having a worse time because someone is clipping through a wall.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, I think there are three takeaways I would want any listeners, and I imagine most of our listeners already know and agree with, right? But from this conversation, one, don't play video games that are bad experiences if those experiences are like sketch, you know what I mean? Like, I don't play mobile games with fucking like ad pop-ups because I hate ad pop-ups and I'm just not going to watch them, you know? So like hard pass on that kind of shit, right? Mm. Support games that are ethical and not invasive and don't take advantage of you and other customers, right? First and foremost. Two, support the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Yes.
Three, use ad blockers, for crying out loud. I use, no joke, I use three ad blockers right now. Ghostery, let's see what I have. Pop-up Blocker Pro and Uplay Origin. Oh, number four. Buy a VPN, pay for a VPN, use the VPN.
And hope the VPN is not owned by a Chinese company or what have you.
Yes, also that.
I mean, I think those are all very good hygiene-related stuff around controlling your data. I think back a few weeks ago to when we were talking about the Stadia release, and that's basically telemetry, the video game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's nothing but online server-based tracking and control of a video game. And I think we'll learn some fascinating things from that. But also, the panopticon has never been stronger. You know,
that's true. Yeah. And I think the disconcerting thing there, right, is like it is tied to that network where, you know, if you're going to be using your Google headset, you have to then also sign into Google.
Yep.
Unless you make a whole new account, and which by all means, like if you want to be extra secure, make multiple online identities across the internet and switch that shit up based upon what platform you're using. Because, you know, if I get a Stadia and I connect my Google account, they will know all of my Chrome browsing history. They will know my emails. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, so there's a huge amount of data that, while my VR play behavior is probably not all that useful, just slot in real nicely into their big old puzzle piece that is me, you know?
Well, and it makes it so much, even in the most banal sense, it just makes it so much more easy and surgical to, you know, sell you Funyuns or whatever.
Yeah. Dude, I fucking love Funyuns.
There you go. See? So, how did I know that?
I know that. I've been browsing your search history, George.
Remember that one time we played Spelunky together? Yeah. I am interested to see what my telemetry would have looked like in some of the games that existed in the pre-online space. Because even the Shattered Memories, I would be surprised if that stuff ever made it back to a server anywhere. Yeah, like that shit was on the Wii. Like, I imagine that stuff just lived locally, but even something as simple as like the Walking Dead like decision tree was something that it got me thinking more about me playing video games as a movement of people versus just as an individual doing something.
Yeah. You know what genuinely I think should be brought back, both for my own personal amusement and for ethical reasons, is the ability to tell how many hours I've played a particular game.
Mm.
Because they used to have that for WoW. But they don't have that for League of Legends. And I feel like if I look at my how long I've played and I can't justify it, then that's a problem. But I feel like I could justify it. You know what I mean? Like,
But you know they definitely know it. They just don't want to expose it to you for whatever reason. So there's this weird power imbalance.
Yeah, across the board. Like, I can't think of a single game that will tell me how long I've been playing. I have to decipher it from my save files.
Or like, you know, a meta layer like Steam or whatever that tracks some of that stuff. Like,
yeah,
you know, they don't want you to know. They
total
just want
side
you to
note,
hang out.
Actually, of the API of telemetry data. But the other cool thing it enables is tying to user-created APIs. So there's all kinds, or rather having users use the API to then produce a bunch of cool personalized stuff. Like there's a bunch of things around multiplayer games where it can feed out way more data than the game ever provides you. Like, you know, who is the, in League of Legends, for example, I can find out, you know, who are the heroes that I die to the most? Who are the champions that I am most good against? You know, like, what are the counter picks against me so I can ban them? Right. How often do I die in the early game, the mid game, the late game? Like, a bunch of cool stuff that you have access to that can help you, you know, maximize your either competitive side or your just sort of silly fun side.
It would be, I think that would be a good first step of saying, here are all of the metrics we track. Also, here's a way to download your own, and just for transparency's sake. And then the next step, which would be much harder for to convince a corporation to do, is here's what we do with this information. You know, we sell it to these brokers, or we share it with this parent company, or what have you. Which I don't think. I mean, obviously, it's hard to do, but I mean, with like, you know, with things like GDPR in Europe, I don't think that stuff is completely out of the question. I do think the first step, to your point, is just parity of transparency.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to see it, though. It might just make me embarrassed.
Yeah.
Think of all these times I died to this one stupid boss in Sekiro, you know?
Oh, I mean, I don't need someone to tell me that, dude. I know that's scarred into my fucking psyche at this point.
The big data has identified me as scrub status.
Yeah, oh, that would be so disheartening to see the bucket you've been placed in from a marketing perspective. It's like, oh, this is, we're calling them casual noobs. Oh, gosh.
Players who take these actions might be interested in baby games for babies.
Yeah, you start seeing ads on Amazon for pacifiers.
Get good. All right, I guess we will leave it there for this week. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
experiencepoints.net is our website. Come on down. We're probably tracking, I mean, to be honest, we're probably tracking your data and giving it to someone, and we're not even aware of it.
If I could figure out how to use our podcast services analytics dashboard, I'd know so much about you guys.
If we could make doppelgangers of every listener, we'd have double the listeners.
Hold on a second, George. Slow down. I'm writing this down. Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time.